are certainly worthy of our worship. And today, as we explore the scriptures from Genesis, we'll look at Abram and, Lord, recognize the importance of worship in you, Lord, building altars, praising you, honoring you, responding to you in obedience, Lord. Father, as we come before you, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for this message, I pray that our hearts will be focused on hearing your words of truth. Lord, help me to step out of the way so that your words of truth can be heard in our hearts and our ears. We love you and we thank you in the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we had to amend our order of service a little bit. We don't have a whole lot of children here this morning. It's kind of unusual. But like I said, this is a holiday weekend. There's a lot of people traveling, a lot of people who are not well. And so let's continue to be praying for them. Talking about not well, we are certainly thankful that God has been working in Sister Jo's life. And don't know if you recognize this lady sitting here in the third pew, but this is Sister Marie. This is Sister Johanna's sister. And the family, she came from out of state to come, and she flew in yesterday. Preston picked her up at the airport, and when she got to the hospital, the whole family says that Sister Jo was extremely excited to be able to do that, to know that she's here. So we're certainly thankful. Continue to be praying for Sister Jo's recovery. Might be a little long road here ahead of them, but we're certainly thankful for what God has been doing in her life. And also, just in case you hadn't heard the exciting news, Christmas is exciting for all kinds of different reasons, but Jonathan and Chelsea are here today, and they have something special that's been going on in their lives too. Someone's engaged now, right? So, yes. Congratulations, guys. That's exciting. That's exciting. Well, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 12, if you'd like to open your Bibles. We'll get there in just a little bit. But, you know, as we look into the last Sunday of any given year, it's an opportunity for us to have some reflections, perhaps of what we did throughout the year 2018, but perhaps also the ways of praying and seeking God's direction for what he has in store for our church and us as individuals for 2019. You know, when we think about the new year, we think about all kinds of resolutions, and I've been thinking about this too. I need to get back in my exercise routine, eating healthy and all those type of things, and all those things are good to have those resolutions to live by. But we also have to realize that there's three multiple facets of our life that has to be healthy. One is a physical health, which we have a tendency of thinking about because when we get hungry, we want to eat. When we get a little overweight, we need to lose some weight and those type of things. So there's a physical health that we need to be focused on. And a lot of times we recognize the emotional health that we have to have because God has created us to have an emotional component of our life, and so we need to be emotionally healthy. And then there's a third important ingredient that is just as important as the other two, and that is a spiritual life. So where are you headed spiritually for 2019? What's God have in store for your life? What exciting things is God going to reveal to you? You know, and as we think about our own spiritual life, we also realize that when we accept Jesus Christ and when we follow and believe his baptism, we unite with his church, we're part of a membership of his church. And so what exciting things does God have in store for us as a church family in 2019. You know, recently our association sponsored a demographic study of our community. I had met with a number of pastors, I worked with some associational leaders, and we discussed the findings and with the associational leadership. Then we also brought that information back to our church, and I had the privilege of meeting with our church leadership team and discussing some of those opportunities, and there's some exciting things that we're looking to for the community things. And in fact, we have to look at our community differently than what we've ever done before. In fact, I have a slide there that shows that's the City Hall of Russellville. When we look at our community, and I know not everybody lives here in Russellville, but Russellville and beyond, wherever you're living as well, do you look at our community as a mission field for Jesus Christ? When we look at the Russellville community, when we're driving through, when we're going up to City Hall, or when we're going to the bank, or when we're driving to Dollar General, or to filling up with gas at the stop, what goes through our mind and what are we seeing? Are you seeing the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with our community? When we pray and we start looking with the eyes of our heart, we'll begin to see things differently. In fact, we can see new beginnings. And when we look at our community, what is it that you see? Are you praying and seeking God's vision for our community and how we as Christians, those who God has drawn into this fellowship, can reach our community for Jesus Christ? You know, as we look into our community, do we see the next slide? Do we see the veterans of our community? You know, veterans are incredibly important to us as a nation. But there's some available data that we as a church need to recognize. We have to know it because I believe that God can call our church, even a small little community here that has incredible men and women who have served our country, but they may need our assistance in some respect. Available data suggests that 20 United States veterans take their own lives every day. That is terribly alarming. Female suicide rates of U.S. veterans has risen 62.4% since 2001. Isn't that alarming? Male suicide rates of U.S. veterans has risen 29.7% since 2001. So why is the pastor of our church talking about veterans that live in our community? Well, church, we're responsible to God, and we're responsible to the men and women who have sacrificed for our country. Church, what does God expect us to do to honor our veterans who have sacrificed so much for us? So as we look at that, do we see those needs with the eyes of our hearts? What are we doing to minister to them as a church? What can our church do to serve God and serve our veterans of our community? For you know what? Many of these men and women are doing really, really well, but some of them, they need hope. Specifically, some of them need the hope of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to reach out to them, to be their friend, to visit them, and to love them like Jesus Christ? The next slide. Do you see the seniors in our community? We're blessed as our church. We have some incredible seniors that are part of our church, but there are some other seniors that live in our community that's not affiliated with any churches who are struggling. You know, medical and mental health publications reveal that the greatest needs of our senior citizens is medical needs. They also tell us some alarming things that we just don't like to think about too much. But there are some mental health needs for our seniors in our nation. And that incorporates our community as well. Many of the seniors suffer from depression. They suffer from anxiety, bipolar disorders, eating disorders. So why am I talking about the senior citizens of our community? Church, we are responsible to God and to the seniors of our church, of our community. Church, what does God expect us to do to honor the seniors in our community? Do you see these needs with the eyes of your heart? What are we doing to minister to them as a church? What can our church do to serve God and to serve the seniors of our community? You know, it's kind of neat to see how many of our members are involved in a lot of ministry things that goes on with seniors. There are many who go to nursing homes and who participate in Meals on Wheels. But what can we do to serve these folks? Well, there is a need for Meals on Wheels. The seniors in our community need rides to doctors at times. They're lonely, and they need godly people to visit them. See, they also need the hope of Jesus. The next slide, we see a pretty common thing that we drive by often, and that's the school. See, do you see the children in our community? The Russellville community has a number of children, and they're incredible kids, and we're blessed. We have a lot of teachers that invest a lot into the children in our community already. But the data suggests that there are a number of children in our community that come from a background that I referred to as a hyper-risk group of children. And these hyper-risk groups of children are children whose parents are incarcerated. And the data suggests that that these children specifically are faced with economic instability. They're faced with residential instability. Many suffer from increased behavioral problems. The data suggests that at least 70% of these children will likely end up in prison themselves. Prison Fellowship released information that the child of an incarcerated parent are at least 3 times more likely to become incarcerated as those children whose parents are not. But my friends, it doesn't have to be that way either. Church, what does God expect us to do to honor all the children of our community? We're blessed as a church. We have some incredible kids, even though they weren't here this morning. There are incredible children in our church that we are absolutely blessed with. But are there some other kids that doesn't have a whole lot of people that loves on them? See, what can our church do to serve God and serve the children of our community? See, they need people to read books to them. They need a place to do homework. They need tutors. They need godly people to show them how to act. They need the hope of Jesus. God's revealing a new beginning in our community ministry at Mount Olive. Are you ready to go to a land, go to a new ministry that God will show us? Not that He has told us exactly everything about it, but that, hey, there are needs there. I want you to go and meet those needs, and I will tell you how to meet those needs. I won't tell you right now. I just want to see if you're faithfully obedient to go. See, such requirements that God provides requires faith. It requires trust in God. And see, that's the situation that a guy by the name of Abram, we perhaps know his name better as Abraham, but that's how exactly Abram found himself in. This morning, let's look at the first 9 verses of Genesis chapter 12. Front part of your Bible, the very first book of the Bible. And as you turn there, when you find it, if those of you can stand, would you stand as we will read and honor God's word as we read the first 9 verses of Genesis chapter 12. God's holy word says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he had set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people that had acquired, in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh of Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued toward the Negev." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy and precious word. And Father, what an honor it is to have possession of your words of truth. And Lord, as we begin to explore your truth, or speak to our hearts clearly, help us to understand. Help us to realize that there are certain keys to the new beginnings that you want us to know and understand and to go to. Lord, bless us now. Help us to be the men and women of integrity that you need us to be, to trust you and to trust your word and put it into practice in our life. We thank you and praise the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as we look here, we see this guy, Abram. And so what is it that we know about Abram? Well, we know a lot about Abram. You know, those in the Jewish faith refer to him as Father Abraham. Why? Because of a covenant agreement that God had made with him that goes right along with where we're starting here today. God told him that his inhabitants would be as great as there were stars in the sky. But there was a problem. We all know about Abram and Sarai, and their names were eventually changed to Abraham and Sarah, and we knew that Sarah was beyond childbearing age, and God performed a miracle in her life, but before their son was born, they decided to take things on their own hands, and they had Abraham have a child with Sarah's handmaid and things like that, created quite a mess in that. But so we know a lot about Abraham and Sarah. But as we think about this particular passage, what is it that we clarify and know? Well, we know and recognize that Abraham was a man of character. Abram trusted God, and he believed in God, and he believed God at his word. But the most recognizable aspect of this passage is that God gave Abram a command to go. Now, God commands all of us to go, right? We know in the Great Commission, Jesus tells us that, and there's a lot of other passages where God gives us clear instructions to go. But what's unique and interesting about this particular passage is that God doesn't tell Abram where specifically he was going. He was just commanded him to go to a land that he would show him. And so that's kind of frustrating for all of us who like to know every aspect of everything. So he just told Abram to go, and I will show you. So I wonder, how would you deal with that instruction? How would you handle that when God would tell you to do something, but he won't tell you exactly how it is or where it's going to be or even when it's going to be? He just said, go and do this. It's interesting. So this morning, we're going to dive a little deeper into this whole concept as we look and explore keys to a new beginning. Because Abram was directed to go to a new land, to experience a new beginning, just like for us in 2019, it'll be a new land, a new opportunity, a new beginning. It's going to be an opportunity for us to look at our community in a new way and look and see that there are needs all around us, but perhaps we've been so comfortable living where we lived, we've never looked and saw new opportunity for which God now is beginning to tug on our hearts and show us. So let's look at keys to a new beginning. The first key is this: fellowship with God. As we read through the life of Abraham, you'll soon discover that he fellowshiped with God a lot. The key to fellowship is first found in a relationship with God. You'll not be able to have fellowship with God if you don't know him. Today we recognize to have a fellowship, have a relationship with God, you have to accept the offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. Salvation requires us to seek forgiveness of our sins, to turn from sin and turn to Jesus. We must believe in Jesus as the Son of God who died on the cross as a payment for our sins. And we have to believe and accept that he was buried and 3 days later he rose from the grave. And then we must make him, Jesus Christ, the absolute authority of our life. We're no longer going to call the shots. We're not going to let the world call the shots. We're not going to let sin call the shots or Satan call the shots. God and God alone is going to be the absolute authority in our life. Abraham trusted God as his absolute authority. But we also recognize that fellowship also requires time with one another and communication. If you don't spend time with someone, you won't have fellowship with them. When you do spend time, you also have to communicate. So communication with God requires hearing and listening and responding to him. It requires time with him that includes reading his word, studying his scripture, prayer, worshiping him. Friends, it was during one of those fellowshipping times that God and Abraham was having that we see verse 1 appear. In fact, let's what verse 1 say again. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to two." So God said, give up all these things that you appreciate, that are meeting your needs, that you're comfortable with. He says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Did you see the fellowship in this particular statement? God was listening and talking with Abraham, and in the scripture, he said, the Lord said to Abram. You know, if they weren't in fellowship, God wasn't going to be able to talk to Abram. But God did talk to Abram, and he was listening. And God speaks to us when we are in fellowship with him. And spending that time with God is so critically important, and we cannot just cut it out of our life. If we cut fellowship with God out of our life, we're cutting out the major component of our spiritual life. And verse 7, God appeared. And then he spoke this. He said in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. What a promise. And then it goes on to say, so he, Abram, he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. You know, Abram was in right relationship with God. And when God began to speak to him and reveal to him, the first response that Abram had was to build an altar and worship the Lord. Are you in right fellowship with God? Are you in right relationship with God? Are you reading and studying His Word? Or do you have this hunger of wanting to know what is it that God really wants? And help me, God, to adjust myself to your word. How often do we want the opposite? That, hey, we know what the word says, but I want to do this. So let's find a passage of scripture that will justify me doing what I want to do. It doesn't work that way. That's not fellowshipping with God. Fellowshipping with God is God reveals himself, and you have this hunger to know him more. And so you adjust yourself to him. So are you reading and studying his word? Or how about your prayer life? Do you desire to come to worship so you can experience and fellowship with God? God wants us to have a new beginning, and the first key is a relationship that leads to us to this important key of fellowship with God. You know, a key to a new beginning also is understanding the lordship of God, which is our second point, the lordship of God. A Lord is one that has authority. Who has authority over your life? To receive salvation, it is absolutely essential that we proclaim Jesus as our Lord. Jesus must be our absolute authority. But the authority of Jesus must be more than lip service. We cannot be a hypocrite. Abram trusted God as his absolute authority. God could see Abram's sincerity. So we see what God shares in verses 2 and 3. And he says this in verses 2 and 3. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So we look at what happens when God truly is our Lord, the true Lord. God proclaims that he will do something to do incredible things, and then they come into fruition. Then God lists in this passage a litany of things, a whole list of stuff that was reflective of his incredible power. He will make Abram a great nation, and friends, that happened. He will bless Abram, friends, that happened. He will make his name great, that happened. He said he will be blessed. Every single thing that God promised to deliver was delivered. Then we see verse 8. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Abram showed everyone, but most importantly, he showed God. He wasn't ashamed of God. He wasn't afraid or didn't want people not to see who he was and who he belonged to. He showed everyone that God was his Lord. He built an altar, and he worshipped him. He wasn't ashamed, he wasn't afraid, didn't try to hide it. He just did the right thing because he was in right relationship with him, and with that right relationship, he understood the lordship of God in his life. Whatever God said to Abram, Abram would do it. Abram loved God, he honored him, and he respected God. And Abram desired to build an altar, according to this passage, to call upon his name. When God is truly our Lord, we will begin to have this drawing, the supernatural drawing, to want to worship God. When he is the absolute authority of our life, we love him and honor him and want to respect him, and we want to spend time with him, and we want to come to fellowship, come to worship, and worship him. That's why Abram was so inclined to build that altar immediately as God began to reveal himself and to sharing with all these blessings that he wanted Abram to have. Abram also wanted to honor God by the love that he had for him. We desire to live in God's power, not our own, when we desire to worship him. Another important key to a new beginning is to recognize that God's power is at hand and that He is our Lord. If we try a new beginning on our own power and our own authority, my friends, we will fail. We have to do what Abram did. What did Abram do? He trusted the lordship of God. You know, as we think about a key to new beginnings, the third and final key I want to share with you is this: faithful obedience. When we are in right fellowship with the Lord, we allow Him to be our absolute authority, then responding in faithful obedience is the next key to a new beginning. Because as we look, when God said go, verses 4 through 6 reveals what Abraham did next. When you are in faithful obedience, you will always want to be faithful and responsive to whatever it is that He's called us to do. You know, wouldn't it be a great epitaph on our tombstone? God said to go, so Alan went. Wouldn't that be great? Because that's what we see here in verses 4 through 6. Verse 4 says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Didn't say Abram went as he decided he would go or in the way that he wanted to go. He went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Now that's interesting. Abram was commanded by God to go. Do we realize the span of influence when we're faithfully obedient to God at the influence of those around us? Lot was Abram's nephew, and he was living with Abram in Sarai. And as Abram was ready to go, Lot went with him. Do you realize that your faithful response to God impacts all those who are around you as well? Your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor children, your family, your friends, the people you work with. When they begin to see how you react in faithful obedience to God, it impacts those who are around you as well. Because when they see that God says to go and you went, they're going to want to go right along with you, because what they see and the power that they see in and around your life is the power they want in and around their life as well. So we look at verse 5. He says, he took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So where God was telling him to go, it wasn't like there was like empty land and he could just take possession of it. There are already people there. If he wasn't faithfully obedient, he could have given God a whole list of reasons why this wasn't a good idea. There are people who already live there, God. That's not where I need to go. Or I'm not prepared to do this. That they're doing their farming different than what I'm used to. He could have all kinds of reasons as to why he didn't want to be obedient, but that's not what the scripture said. That's not what Abram did. He was obedient. God said, go, and Abram faithfully obeyed, and he went. You can't live a life of faith without obedience. James tells us that faith without works is dead. Faithful obedience requires us to leave the land that we're comfortable in and go to the land that God will show us. There's not a lot of direction to God's expectations. When we are faced with a new beginning, we usually expect God to give us all the details, because as humans, that's what we like. We like to know all the details. We want to see it, and then we want to decide if we really want that new beginning or that new ministry in the first place. But if we require to know all the details and see the plans before we do it, where's the faith in God? See, there's a difference between a fact and faith. Fact allows us to see it all. We can look at all the data. Faith requires us to trust God and trust that God knows it and that we follow Him. If we're busy asking God to explain every detail, where's our obedience and where's our faith? You see, a new beginning requires faithful obedience. Why do you think that many Christians and why many churches are not seeking new beginnings? Because it's comfortable to stay where we are. It's comfortable not to have to step out of our comfortable zones of where we're at and to do something different. It's easy to do those type of things. It's easy to stay right where we are, but to trust God at His word and do what He says, it requires us to hear God, to adjust to God, and be faithfully obedient to Him. So, are you faithfully obedient to the Lord? Let's look at how the last verse that we read ends. Verse 9, then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. You know, we see stops along the way, but God didn't say, okay, this is your permanent stop. He got stopped, he got settled, and then he packed up and he moved on. He got settled, got adjusted, but then he had to pack up and move on. And so here again, verse 9 shows again during this journey that God may have multiple places for you to stop on the journey to where He needs you to go. So after Abram built the altar and worshiped and sought the Lord, he packed it up. He continued on the journey for what God would show him. Friends, I believe that God wants us to be on a journey to a new beginning. What is that? I don't know. It may be just exactly where we're at right now, just finding ways that we can minister to our community. It could be further and greater things like that. We have a link-up church in Wisconsin. It could be a great opportunity for us to have a new beginning in ways that we've never dreamt. I don't know exactly what God has in store, but what we have to be willing is to be men and women of faithful obedience to God. Sometimes that journey that God sends us on, where He tells us to go, sometimes that will send us across the world, but sometimes that journey may only take you next door or down our downtown Russellville. No matter where the new beginning takes us in 2019, it will always require faithful obedience to God. Not faithful obedience to what other people want, not the faithful obedience to a majority vote of anything, but we have to find out what is it that God has told us. And we must be faithful and obedient to Him. See, faithful obedience is key to God's new beginning. I'm going to ask right now if you'll stand to your feet as the musicians come. They're going to play softly. And as they do, let me ask you a couple of questions as we prepare for an invitation time. See, fellowship with God is key to a new beginning. How's your fellowship with the Lord today? Are you spending time with Him? Are you reading and studying and applying His word to your life? Are you praying and seeking His will, not your will? Allowing God to be the Lord of your life is key to a new beginning. Are you allowing God to be your Lord? And Lord, as a reminder, means the absolute authority. See, faithful obedience is key to a new beginning. Are you being faithfully obedient to the Lord? Are you ready to go to the land that God will show you? Are you ready to be involved in a new ministry that God will show you? Friends, we all must seek to grow in our fellowship with Him. We must truly make Him our Lord, even over our own desires. And we must respond to Him in faithful obedience. Let us all pray and seek God's new beginning so that we can reach this community, our county, our state, our nation, and our world for Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And if today you need to make a decision, perhaps today you know that you're not in fellowship with God because you've not entered into a relationship with Him. And perhaps today you know, I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. If you've never asked Him to be that, I'm going to invite you to come. Perhaps you have done that and you need to be obedient to the steps of baptism or some other steps of obedience that He's called you to do. And today you know you need to do that. Perhaps there's other burdens that's on your heart. But today, God has commanded all of us to go. And He says to go to a land that He will show us. Not a land that you're wanting, not a land that you figured out, not a land that someone else says, but God and God alone. Father, we thank You for who You are. Thank You for Your words of truth, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to make any type of decision, Lord, give us the courage to step forward to claim that. Lord, if there's someone here that needs a relationship, and to grow in fellowship with you. Lord, give them the courage to do that today. Lord, if there's others, Lord, that needs to be willing to be faithfully obedient or to truly make the Lord, Jesus, the true Lord of their life, Lord, give them the courage to step forward today. We thank you and praise you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing page number
375.
If you need to make a decision, you come right now as we sing. Morning, and appreciate it. We might be small in numbers, but there's a lot of love that comes into our church. Aaron's going to come and share some announcements with us, but before you leave today, go across the aisles and introduce yourself to someone you don't know today and tell them how much it is great to have them in worship today. So, Aaron, I'll turn it over to you.
Go ahead and have a seat if you will. Don't have too much, but it's just kind of all strung out. First off, we want to do our birthdays and anniversary offering this morning. This is the last Sunday of the month, so if you had a birthday anytime in December, come and give that, and that goes towards the children's home. So, any birthdays this month? And anniversary offerings, whoops. As we know, go to the Baptist home. So if you had an anniversary in December, come. That's something you don't see just every day, so that's awesome. A couple things here. First off, I have a card. Dear church family, Paula and I are so thankful for God's love and this church family. We wish to express our sincerest appreciation for the generous love gift you gave us for Christmas. We look forward to using the gift to do something special and continue to invest in God's kingdom. God bless Brother Alan and Paula. So, just a couple things going on this week. Reminder, no Wednesday activities this week. No Monday night men's Bible study. Nothing going on this week. Everything's canceled for the holidays still. We'll pick back up next week, so be sure and be here for that. Quarterly business meeting is in 2 weeks, January 13th, after following the evening service. So come be a part of that if you would please. And once more, as we begin the new year, Sandy is able to track your tithes and offerings if you want to for tax purposes. So if you would like to have that done for 2019, see Sandy, and she'll get that taken care of for you. And lastly, many of you know, Marianne Winters, my mother-in-law, takes care of the church sign. And something with her arm, she can't do it now, whatever. But anyway, she could really use some help just doing the footwork. I'm sure she would be more than willing to provide, you know, whatever would want to be put on the sign. If somebody could just volunteer to come and get the letters and put them out there for us and help her out with that, that would be greatly appreciated. Any other announcements anybody knows of? Pat? The poinsettias need to go because they're not going to live forever.
They need a little drink, so they will travel well dry, I think.
Okay. So, If you didn't hear that, poinsettias, they've served their purpose. So if you, especially if you know somebody that is a shut-in, can't get out, you know, that would brighten up their day. Take that to them, just whatever the situation is. But if they're left here much longer, they will not last. So, all right, anything else? All right, we'll stand, we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for all the things you do for us, Lord. And thank you again for this beautiful day you've given us and the opportunity we've had to come into your house. We thank you for the message you've given us. Lord, I hope that this message takes root in our hearts and this grows, and we are able to grow in this community, to bring your light and your word out into it, and just accomplish the will that you have set forth for us. Father, just lead us in all those directions you'd have us to go, and help us to see your leadership and your guidance and to follow you willingly. Lord, we just pray that as we leave this place now, that you'd be with us and keep us in your care. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.